gotta have somewhere to put this other microphone. Get that one on there. There we go. There we go. All right. Let's see. What do we got going on tonight? We got two more drivers on the road as of today, so that's going to be scary. I went to the DPS, and Megan and Sam got their learner's permits. So just watch out. Just be careful on the road. You know. Just stay far away and all right. 3 John was where we're at this evening. Yeah, don't turn around. I need a place to put this thing. So I went ahead and put this jacket on. I just won't turn around. You won't see it. Yeah. Do what? That's all right. I already struggled to get this thing on, so I'll just put this microphone on it. Announcements. Well, let's see. We've got, y'all did Ladies Fellowship. Teens, that's it. Teens this Sunday in the evening. The teens have their get together at 6 in the evening. So that's happening Sunday evening, the teen fellowship. And then got all the youth camp planned. Everybody signed up for that. VBS is getting, I think all the teachers have their materials. Got some organizing to do before then, decorating and all that stuff, but that'll be coming up. So 3 John, little book of 3 John. The theme, just to remind you, truth is the word that shows up several times in this book. Truth. And tonight's subject is walking in truth. But if you want to look at it, 3 John, I'll show you all the times the word shows up in this little book. You got in verse 1, love in the truth, which we discussed. We've got in verse 3, testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. Verse 4, walk in truth. Verse 8, fellow helpers to the truth. Verse 12, a good report of all men and of the truth itself. A record that's true, also in verse 12. And so that word shows up multiple times here, and it really is the theme, kind of the thematic idea throughout this little letter here, just little letter of 14 verses. We're going to focus on verses 2 through 4 this evening. And the theme tonight is walking in the truth, walking in the truth. And I forgot. There's a book. Can you hand me that book? I got all the way up here, and I'm forgetting. There's a little book right there. Yeah. Thank you. So verse 2, the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So that's the thought, walking in truth. And divided up into three little points, simple points this evening. Walking in truth, how it's defined here, how it's demonstrated, and how it is desired. So you got, you know, a nice homiletic little outlined there. They're all D's, defined, demonstrated, and desired. And let's pray, and we're going to talk about walking in truth tonight, walking in truth. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. Pray that you'd guide us through these verses. Pray that you'd feed your flock, and thank you for folks that have come, and I know that come from work or just middle of the week here, and folks need some encouragement, need some food, and need some help. And I pray that you would do that this evening. They don't want to hear from me. They don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from you. And I pray they would. I pray you'd use me, but get me out of the way to say what you want said, and help the folks here and those that are watching as well. Pray you feed them and bless them. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, walking in truth. I thought it was neat how it's defined in the second verse. In verse 2 of this little letter here, 3 John, it's defined as soul prosperity. We're all familiar with prosperity, financial prosperity. That's what everyone wants. You know, have more stuff so they can just have more stuff so they can take care of more stuff, and then have more stuff so we can take care of more stuff, so we can have garage sales to get rid of more stuff, so we can make room for more stuff. And so, you know, you understand prosperity, but walking in truth deals with soul prosperity. He says this in verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So Gaius, the man that's being written to, Gus, I don't know, you call him Gus, I just say, maybe that's an easier way to say it. But he is obviously in bad health. He has served the Lord. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But his whole life has been serving the Lord. And even in Paul's day, you know, he helped Paul with missionary journeys and helped him plant churches, helped him minister and helped him pastor, helped him see folks get saved, things like that. And so his whole life has been ministry since he got saved, and now he's up in age. His health isn't so good, but his soul is okay. His soul's good, but his health isn't good. And so just a note right off the bat, your body can be in terrible condition, but your soul can be in good condition. Your body can be in deadly conditions, but your soul can be all right. And eventually it's going to come down to that. Eventually it's going to come down to a body that is failing and a body that is dying and all that kind of thing. But if your soul is okay, that's who you are. You are a living soul. That's what the Bible says all the way back in Genesis, that God created man and he made him a living soul. That's what you are. You're not, as much as you may think you are, you're not your body, although you feel like you're your body sometimes. You're not your body. You are a living soul. Let's define this word. I don't think you understand what health means, or just the state of being healthy. But since John says it here, that he wishes Gaius's body would be in health like his soul is, and his soul is prospering, but his body is not doing well. But so here's a little definition for health. It's the state in which all parts are sound, well-organized, disposed, in which they all perform freely their natural functions. It's just there's no pain, there's no irregularities, there's no trouble there, and everything is functioning as it's supposed to function. And to say that of a soul, that's what he says of Gaius's soul, that his soul is prospering, it's doing, it's enjoying all of the benefits and all of the blessings that God intended for him, all the while his body is just sinking lower and lower and sort of dying and struggling and things like that. Now, some I've heard, and some of you have probably heard this too. Folks, take this verse about being in good health as his soul was in health to say that it's God's will that everyone be healed of everything that they have. The verse says exactly the opposite of that. It says a man's soul is okay while his body is not okay, and that's just what's going on. It's not against God's will or anything. It's not like that. It's just that the body's dying and the soul's okay. And so it's not that if you're right with God, then your body's going to be okay. Because here's a man who's right with God and his body's not okay. Here's a man who is in all ways you can be in good fellowship with God and walking in the truth, like John says, he's walking in the truth, and in all ways of his life he is doing the right things. I mean, he's fellowshipping with the Lord, he's serving the Lord. And yet his body is just struggling. I give you a little story here. That's why I wanted this book. It's got some things in here that are really good. But a good example of this is there's a young man about 6 years old, and his name was Willie Leonard. And about 2 weeks before he died, he told his mom, and I don't want to get it wrong, let me read it to you. He said to his mom, he said, "Mom, I wouldn't want to leave you folks here, but then I suppose I would be very happy in heaven. And Mama, I would watch over you." And of course, for a six-year-old to say that to mom, she's like, "What? Why would you say something like that? Why would you even think about dying at such a young age?" And so mom kind of grabbed him up and said, why would you say something like this? And he doesn't really have an explanation for it, but it turned out to be somewhat prophetic. Because a couple weeks later, little Willie Leonard, he came down with scarlet fever. And it was a severe case of it. It was a bad case of it. He said this right before he got the scarlet fever. He said, "Mama, I don't want any little lamb on my tombstone, but I want a little boy lying on the grass as you've seen me lie in the summertime when I was tired out with play." And of course, mom is just like, "What, son, why are you talking like this?" And he apparently knew, I mean, something was going on in his body. So he contracted scarlet fever, and it was a severe case, like I said. Somebody asked him if he had grown up as a sick boy, because he's only 6 years old, if he had grown up sickly. And he said, "No, not very sick, but I think Jesus is going to take me to heaven to live." I mean, just some wild kind of statements. What I'm saying is, and I'll get to the end of the story here in a second, the point is this young man at such a young age, he has accepted the final end of his own body, but his soul is okay. He is content to have his body die and be with the Lord, just like the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And he's okay with that. You know, it's a perfect illustration of a soul that is prospering while a body is dying. He said this after he got sick. He started talking about his toys and who to give his toys to and who to give his clothes to, and I mean, just stuff that kids don't normally think about. But started talking about who should get this toy and who should get these clothes and things like that. And his brother came along and said, "Mom's going to get Dr. Taplin, so just hang on. She's going to go get Dr. Taplin." And here's what he said. He said, I would rather that Jesus would take me to heaven than for Dr. Taplin to make me well. What a perspective on life. What a perspective. And of course, after that, in a few short hours, his body was restless and sort of delirious. And I'm going to read you the rest of this little count here, because I don't want to mess it up. It says, as we laid him back on his pillow, his eyes remained wide open and fixed. We felt his feet and found them cold. I hastened and warmed flannels and wrapped them. We chafed his hands, although his fingernails were blue. How could we believe that our Willie was dying? Willie, our hope, our pride, the joy of our home, yes, our very idol. But so it was, and as we gathered round his bed, we wept, as only parents can weep at such times, and talked loving words to his inanimate form. He was lying very still when all at once one little hand was raised, and he pointed upward for a moment, and his dear lips moved in an effort to speak. Willie, I cried aloud, do you see Jesus? His hand was laid again by his side. He breathed shorter and less frequently, and a few times, and then ceased forever. In his last moments, he remembered the signal agreed upon between him and me, and he pointed me to Jesus. That was one of his things. He told his mom, I'm going to point you. I'm going to point to the Lord. I'm going to point to Jesus when I'm headed up there. And that's what he did. And I read that to you to illustrate a prospering soul in a dying body. A soul that has prosperity. Here is a soul that is at peace, content, joyful, perfectly at ease, while the body is just decaying and withering and dying. Walking in truth, John says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. I want you to be in health, but you're not in health, but I want you to be. Even as thy soul prospereth. Now, that's the good part of it. That's the good side of it. A soul that's prospering in a dying body. What about a soul that's not prospering in a dying body? I remember how Peter said it when he talked about Lot. And he said of Lot, he said, Lot, when he lived in Sodom, he vexed his righteous soul with things he heard and things he saw. He watched the news, he watched the parades, he listened to the conversations, he turned on the TV, and, you know, I mean, you get the idea. I'm trying to make it a little more up to date, but you get the idea. Look, in fact, you don't have to take my word for it. Just read this. Look in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. This is Lot with his soul. A soul that's not prospering. A soul that is vexed. A soul that's troubled. Lot may have been in good health. He may have been in perfect health. But the Bible says his soul was troubled. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 8, he says, For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He just tormented his soul. It just agitated him day in and day out. You know that stuff has psychological consequences. You know the stuff you put in your mind and you put in your ears has consequences of a mental nature, of a heart nature. I mean, this is Lot. He is the opposite of a man like Gaius, whose soul is good. He's walking in truth. He surrounds himself with truth. He immerses himself in truth, and he's prospering, his soul is prospering, as opposed to Lot, who surrounds himself with lies and surrounds himself with all the culture of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Bible says he just vexed himself. has made himself sick with all the stuff he heard and all the stuff he watched and all the stuff that went in his eyes and went in his ears and went in his mind. And it just tore his soul apart. There's a real difference between walking in truth and a soul that's prospering and walking in lies and deceit and a soul that is vexed and troubled. And you know, and I know, you put enough lies in your mind, you put enough garbage in your mind, it's going to affect your mind. I'm convinced. There are a lot of people who would rather, I said it in Sunday school one time, who would rather take a pill than get right with God and stop putting stuff in their mind that they're putting in their mind. I'd rather just shut my mind off. Whenever it gets a little too agitated and too vexed, let me just shut it off. Instead of stop putting that stuff in your head. Stop putting that stuff in your heart. That stuff is accumulating. It's hurting you. So here's you can walk in truth, and your body may get cancer. Your body may ache and hurt. But you know what your soul is doing? It just prospers, walking in truth. But here's Lot over here. He just walks in lies and the culture and garbage, and he may be a real healthy man. But his soul is, the Bible says, he's just vexed. He's troubled. It's just this constant tearing. Walking in truth defined. That's walking in truth defined. Back over to 3 John, and the other points aren't as long as this one, so. And I didn't have all those notes in here, so. 3 John, verse 3. Walking in truth defined, now walking in truth demonstrated. Here's what John said of Gaius. He said, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified to the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth." So this is something other people said of him. When they watched Gaius live, they said, that is a man who surrounds himself with truth. As a man who lives in the truth, it's like, I mean, you can walk in a park, you can walk in the mall, you can walk in truth. You can surround yourself with it, or you can surround yourself with other things, and then there will be consequences to surrounding yourself with other things. I rejoice greatly, John said. I was so happy. I was so happy to hear it. When the brethren came and testified to the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. So other people saw Gaius's life, and it was their testimony of his life, not his testimony of his own. He wasn't telling other people, "Hey, look, hey, I do this, I serve God, or whatever. You know, I'm the guy getting it done, or whatever." It was other people saying this of him. Other people watching his life saying, "That is a man who serves God. That is a man who walks in the truth." And when it got around to John, I mean. If you're saved, you are undoubtedly encouraged when you hear about people walking in the truth. You are encouraged to see people serve God, unless you're just envious of them, and then I don't know what the issue would be there other than envy. But if you're right with God, you are encouraged by seeing people walk with the Lord. You are encouraged by seeing people serve the Lord. It is a blessing. It's not a curse. It's a blessing to see that. And so here is John. He gets this news about Gaius, and he's just like, "I was so overjoyed. I love hearing that. I love hearing that. I love hearing it when other people are serving God or walking in the truth." And these guys must have been so excited. I can just hear it now. They come to John and they're like, "Man, we met this guy over there in Macedonia, wherever he was. We met this guy, and he is a soldier, man. This guy gets it done. This man has served God faithfully. I don't know how old he is. Maybe 70s at this point. And they come back to John and they say, you gotta meet this man. He is something else. I mean, he went with Paul on the missionary journey. So he helped start these churches, and now he's getting a little bit older. He's in bad health, but man, he is faithful. And what I'm saying is they got excited enough that they wanted to tell John about it. They want, John, you need to meet this man. You need to see this man. And then John says, oh, that's wonderful. And so he writes to Gaius. He says, man, I was so happy. I was so excited when I heard about your life. I was so excited. It was such a blessing. I hear enough bad news. It's so good to hear good news. It's so good to hear somebody serving the Lord. It's demonstrated. Walking in truth is demonstrated. It's not just a thought in your mind. It's not an idea. It's living it out. It's behavioral. And it's so much so that other people see that and they testified to it. And then he says this, last but not least, number 3, verse 4, desired. Walking in truth is desired. John says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That, you don't get much higher than that. No greater joy. There is nothing that tops this. When I hear about children of God who are serving God, who love the Lord, I mean, you think about it with your own children. It's you can think about it when you're a teenager with your parents. I don't know. Think about it, but think about it with your own children. And think about it as children. When people bring sin into the home, that's just trouble. That's not a joy. That's just bondage and burdens to bear now. It's just a weight. It's something we gotta try to either move out of the house, or we're all gonna try to deal with your issue here. But if you're a parent who has ever watched son or daughter go through something, I try to think of a time or an example where you watch son or daughter and they met some opposition. And they met some opposition in their life, and they didn't choose the way of the world. They chose the way of God. And they chose the way of God at some cost to their own life. I mean, I don't mean death or anything. I mean, maybe they lost some friends over it. Maybe they said no to something and somebody made fun of them, and they just said, well, you know, I'm not going to do that. But you as a parent who watched that, you know what you say? Yeah, yeah. I couldn't be more proud of you than when I saw you do that. And you know, you think about what God does. He watches his children. And you come to a crossroads of temptation, like Job. I mean, we'll never experience what Job experienced. But you come to a crossroads of temptation and you say no to this thing, or you say yes. Maybe you're supposed to say yes to it. I don't know, whatever the temptation is, but you say no to this thing, or you say yes to this thing, basically saying yes to God, no to the world, and it costs you a little something. And I based on these verses, I can't help but think God says yes. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I've left you here for. That's why you're here, to demonstrate a walk in truth so that other people can see what walking in truth looks like. It's desired. John says this of Gaius, and John is definitely in line with the heart of God here. He says, there is no greater joy. I have no higher excitement in this life than to hear that my children walk in truth. I hope and I think you can relate to that as a parent, where you it's like we deal with enough sin and deceit and trouble, man. But when you make a right decision, but more than that, when you make a right decision that costs you something, boy, now that is something I don't want to say be proud of, but that's something to be proud of. That's what I'm talking about. That's good. I can't help but think God looks down and I mean think of it this way. The next time you face temptation, do you want to put a smile on God's face, or do you want to make him a little bit frustrated with your decision? Because that's the opportunity. That's the opportunity. I can choose God's way of doing things. I can choose God's way of life. And I can put a smile on God's face. Or I can choose my own pleasure or the world's way or my buddy's way or whatever. And I can make God just say, you know what, I'm about done with all of this. About done with all this sin in this world. I'm about done with all this stuff. And one day, he will be done with all of it one day. I mean, it is the height of joy, John says. And he's perfectly in line with the heart of God Almighty. I know it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That just sounds like the voice of God the Father. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What a blessing. So Gaius, he is such a blessing, and he is such a blessing because he walks in truth. He's a blessing to godly people. He's a blessing to God the Father. He is a blessing to his own soul. His soul is what we talked about first. It's doing exactly what it was meant to do. So there is the walking in truth. It's defined. You saw it defined in verse 2. You see it demonstrated in verse 3. You see it desired in verse 4. And I don't know how else to make a better application than to think of it this way. You hit crossroads and temptations on a regular basis. Sometimes you create them. You know at what time of day, you know where these temptations are. Sometimes you run headlong into them. But even if you didn't run headlong into them, you would find temptation. And I want you to think about it. Next time temptation shows up, you have an opportunity. You can either put a smile on God's face, or you can make God just shake his head at the whole thing. What are these people doing? What are these people thinking? Why are these people living this way? I give them light. I give them direction. Take advantage of it. And when you hit that crossroads, undoubtedly, there's going to be the temptation that's going to offer some pleasure. Offer some relief maybe, or what you think is relief in the flesh. Or there's going to be God's way that may not seem to offer immediate pleasure, but it's going to be the right way. It's going to end up in the right place, and it will probably immediately cost you something. It will probably mean you're going to have to say no to this thing, but just think of it in light of how God's reacting to your response to it. You meet the crossroads. I can either put a smile on God's face with this decision, or I can make God continue to be completely frustrated with the whole thing. Not Gaius, boy. He's walking in truth. He has a good testimony. He's lived a good life of serving God and trusting God and all that kind of thing. And so I want to be encouraging to you. Walk in truth. put a smile on God's face. He has no greater joy, he said. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That is the pinnacle of their lives. That defines success for God's children. Walk in truth. That defines success. Father, I pray it's been helpful. I pray this is useful and encouraging and maybe something to think about as we go and finish up this week. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.